Welcome to Exam Ready English Literature, the podcast that gets you exam ready, one poem at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most chilling, fascinating, and rewarding poems in the AQA Power and Conflict anthology, Robert Browning's My Last Duchess. Whether you're revising for the first time or polishing your analysis before the big day, this episode has everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts, unpack the key quotes, tackle the most common exam mistakes, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz. So grab your revision notes, and let's get started. Let's begin with the basics. My Last Duchess was written by Robert Browning in 1842, and it's a dramatic monologue. And that form is absolutely central to everything you need to say about this poem. Now, what is a dramatic monologue? It's a poem spoken entirely by a single character, a speaker who is not the poet, to a silent listener. The speaker reveals their own character, often unintentionally, through what they say and how they say it. In this poem, the speaker is the Duke of Ferrara, a powerful Italian aristocrat from the Renaissance period. He is showing an emissary, a messenger from a count, around his art gallery, and he draws back a curtain to reveal a portrait of his late wife, his last duchess. As the Duke talks about the portrait, he gradually reveals the most disturbing things about himself. He was jealous, controlling, possessive, and, most shockingly, he almost certainly had her killed. The genius of Browning's form is that the Duke thinks he's presenting himself as a cultured, sophisticated nobleman. But we, the readers, see something very different. We see a man who is dangerous, entitled, and utterly without remorse. Now let's look at the poem's key themes. The first and most important theme is power and control. The Duke is obsessed with control. He could not control the Duchess when she was alive. She smiled at everyone. She was grateful for small pleasures. She didn't treat his gift of his 900 years old name as the supreme honor he believed it to be. So he had her killed, and now he controls her completely. She's frozen in the portrait, smiling only for him, seen only when he draws back the curtain. The portrait is a symbol of his ultimate power over her. The key quote here is, "Since none puts by the curtain I have drawn for you, but I." That word none is absolute, no exceptions. The Duke controls who sees her, when they see her, and for how long. In death, he has achieved the total dominance he could never have in life. Examiners will award credit for recognizing this as a symbol of the Duke's possessive, controlling nature. The second major theme is objectification and gender. The Duchess is never given a voice in the poem. She exists only as an object, first as a living woman who the Duke found insufficiently obedient, and then as a painted image on a wall. Her name is never even mentioned. She is simply my last Duchess, a possession defined entirely by her relationship to the Duke. Browning uses the possessive pronoun my in the very title to signal this immediately. The word last is also chilling. It implies there will be a next one, and the poem ends with the Duke already negotiating his next marriage. The emissary is there to arrange it. Browning is making a powerful feminist critique of Renaissance patriarchy and by extension of Victorian attitudes towards women and marriage. Examiners reward candidates who connect this to the historical and social context. The third theme is the dramatic monologue as a vehicle for self-revelation. The Duke believes he is in control of the narrative, just as he was in control of the Duchess. But Browning structures the poem so that the Duke's own words condemn him. When the Duke says, "I gave commands," then all smiles stop together, he's admitting, almost casually, that he ordered her death. The euphemism is chilling. He doesn't say, "I had her killed." He says, "all smiles stop together," as if her death was simply the logical solution to an inconvenience. The caesura, the pause, after commands, mimics the abruptness of his decision. Browning uses punctuation brilliantly here to reflect the Duke's cold, controlled personality. Examiners will credit analysis of caesura and enjambment as structural techniques that reflect the Duke's character. Now let's look at the poem's structure and form in more detail, because this is where a lot of marks are available under Assessment Objective 2. The poem is written in iambic pentameter, 10 syllables per line, with a de-doom, de-doom rhythm. This gives the poem a surface smoothness, a sense of controlled, aristocratic speech. But Browning constantly disrupts this rhythm with caesura, midline pauses, and enjambment, where sentences run over line endings. This tension between control and disruption mirrors the Duke's personality. He presents a polished, civilized exterior, but underneath, there is something volatile and threatening. The rhyme scheme is heroic couplets, pairs of rhyming lines, but the rhymes are often hidden by the enjambment, so you don't notice them as you read. This is deliberate. Browning wants the poem to feel like natural speech, like a real conversation, so that the Duke's revelations feel all the more shocking and authentic. Let me draw your attention to two specific symbols that examiners love to see analyzed. The first is the portrait itself. The portrait represents the Duke's desire to possess and control the Duchess. In life, she was beyond his control. She smiled at everyone, she blushed at compliments from other men. She appreciated the beauty of a sunset as much as his expensive gifts. In death, as a painting, she is perfectly controlled. She cannot smile at anyone else. She cannot embarrass him. She is, in the Duke's mind, finally perfect. The second symbol is the statue of Neptune taming a seahorse, which the Duke mentions at the very end of the poem. Neptune is the god of the sea, a figure of immense, divine power. The seahorse is a wild, untamable creature. The Duke is telling us, in the most explicit symbolic terms, exactly who he is and what he believes. He is Neptune and the Duchess, and his next wife is the seahorse to be tamed. Examiners will award marks for recognizing this as a metaphor for the Duke's desire to dominate women. Now let's talk exam technique, because knowing the poem is only half the battle. The other half is knowing how to write about it under exam conditions. First, always write about Browning, not the Duke. This is one of the most common mistakes candidates make. The Duke is a fictional character. Browning is the poet. You should say Browning uses the dramatic monologue form to reveal the Duke's character, not the Duke uses the dramatic monologue. The Duke doesn't know he's in a poem. Browning chose this form deliberately, and examiners want to see that you understand the distinction between speaker and poet. Second, don't just spot techniques, analyze their effect. It's not enough to say Browning uses a metaphor. You need to say what the metaphor is, what it suggests, and what effect it has on the reader. For example, Browning's metaphor of Neptune taming a seahorse symbolizes the Duke's desire to dominate women, presenting him as a figure of dangerous, mythological power. This disturbs the reader because the Duke sees his control as natural and inevitable, like a god's dominion over the sea. Third, integrate your context. Don't write a separate paragraph about the Renaissance or Victorian attitudes to women. Weave it into your analysis. For example, in the context of Renaissance Italy, where women were considered the property of their husbands, the Duke's behavior would have been seen as extreme, even by the standards of his time, suggesting Browning is critiquing patriarchal attitudes more broadly. Fourth, address the question throughout. Whatever the question asks, whether it's about power, control, gender, or the Duke's character, make sure every paragraph links back to that focus. Examiners reward responses that maintain a clear, sustained argument. Fifth, use short, precise quotations. Don't copy out long chunks of the poem. Embed short phrases into your own sentences. For example, the Duke's use of the possessive pronoun my in the title immediately establishes his view of the Duchess as a possession rather than a person. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, what is the name of the poetic form Browning uses in My Last Duchess? Think about it. The answer is dramatic monologue. Question two, what does the Duke do with the curtain and what does this symbolize? Think about it. The answer is he controls who draws back the curtain to see the portrait, symbolizing his desire for total control over the Duchess. Question three, what does the phrase, I gave commands, then all smiles stopped together, imply? Think about it. The answer is, it implies that the Duke ordered the Duchess to be killed using euphemism to conceal the horror of his action. Question four, what does the statue of Neptune taming a seahorse represent? Think about it. The answer is, it symbolizes the Duke's desire to dominate and control women, presenting himself as a figure of divine, irresistible power. Question five, Name one structural technique Browning uses and explain its effect. Think about it. The answer is caesura. The midline pause after commands mimics the abruptness of the Duke's decision and reflects his cold, controlled personality. How did you do? If you got all five, you're in great shape. If you struggled with any of them, go back to your notes and make sure those key points are locked in. Let's wrap up with the five things you absolutely must remember about My Last Duchess. One, it is a dramatic monologue. The Duke speaks, but Browning is the author, and the Duke condemns himself through his own words. Two, the central theme is power and control. The Duke's obsession with dominance is revealed through the portrait, the curtain, and the statue of Neptune. Three, the Duchess is objectified. She is reduced to a possession, defined only by her relationship to the Duke, and her voice is entirely absent from the poem. Four, form and structure mirror character. The iambic pentameter, caesura, and enjambment reflect the tension between the Duke's controlled exterior and his volatile, threatening nature. Five, context matters. Renaissance Italy's patriarchal values and Victorian attitudes to women and marriage are essential background for understanding Browning's critique. Thank you so much for listening to Exam Ready English Literature. If this episode helped you, share it with a friend who's also revising. Remember, the exam rewards students who analyze with precision, integrate context naturally, and maintain a clear argument throughout. You've got this. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.